This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line coming at you from live in Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. We kicked off week two of the NFL preseason last night. This hour, we'll preview the full weekend slate. Plus, right now in Memphis, Tennessee, we got round two of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Busy sports weekend. UFC 305 coming up, which our own Matt Brown, who's in for Michael Lombardi today, does have a pick for at the end of the hour.
Yes.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll also get some best bets and NFL fantasy angles with Jennifer Piacenti, senior betting and fantasy analyst over at Sports Illustrated. Excited for that conversation. But if we can put Matt and I back on screen for a moment here, am I really this shrimpy? Because I've been looking at this all day. I'm used to being in the studio by myself, and I talk to Michael Lombardi as he is remote in Ocean City.
And they
City.
Just frame you up perfectly every single time, and everything's great.
You know I'm not a short person. Yeah. For our radio audience, I'm sorry this isn't very, you know, pleasing, I'm sure.
Another reason to get the VSiN Pro subscription.
100%. Right? YouTube TV, VSiN.com.
Sure,
that's how
special,
you do it.
Special, right? What? $175 or something.
Yeah,
right?
Now through the Super Bowl, you get everything VSiN has to offer right there. $175, plus all of our pro betting guides, which is amazing.
And you can see how shrimpy she is in real life.
5'10". I'm not small. And so clearly I just have no torso. That's the problem here. Yeah. I feel ashamed.
She's
I
need all to get, legs, everyone.
I need to get like an Apple box to sit on or a
She's
cushion
all,
or something.
All legs.
I want to kick off this hour talking a little bit of baseball here quickly. First pitch between Blue Jays and the Cubs is in less than 20 minutes. Blue Jays fresh off a sweep of the Angels, outscoring them 19-5 in three games. They're looking to keep the momentum going against a Chicago team that just got swept against Cleveland. Against Cleveland. So where do you sit on today? What do we need to know?
Yeah, I think Blue Jays at a little bit of plus money here is the play. Whenever you look at Kyle Hendricks, anytime you can fade Kyle Hendricks, it's a pretty good bet. If you look at his stats on the season, the ERA is just ridiculously high, but you start to look at the expected stats, xERA on him, 488. So it's still really, really bad. His fielding independent pitching, his FIP is sitting at 530. This is a guy that only strikes out 6.4 batters per nine innings. So it's all of these things, by the way, when you also only have a 44% ground ball rate, so you're giving up a lot of fly balls as well. It is a bad combination. And this Blue Jays team has actually put things together here. I mean, it's way too little too late for them, but they have started hitting the ball. Vlad Guerrero's proving to be the superstar that he is. And like I said, a little bit too little too late for this Blue Jays team, but they have surged here with the bats of late. Yarro Rodriguez, it's going for them. He's but he is certainly not near as bad as Kyle Hendricks is. And honestly, this is a price play. If you're getting the Blue Jays at a little bit of plus money in a matchup in which you have the better lineup, you have the better pitcher as well. The only thing not going for you is that you're not playing at home. I think you're always going to be looking at that. And again, I look at any opportunity to fade Kyle Hendricks. He's a guy that doesn't strike anybody out at all. And in today's game, it's all about the strikeout, you know, and if you can't strike anybody out and let the guys put the ball in place, not getting BABIP to death either. His BABIP against is 310, which the league average is 300. So it's not even like that. It's just, he just gives up a lot of hard contact and gives up a lot of hits. So like the Blue Jays here at plus money.
And you're getting a better number now than you were this morning as we get closer to first pitch, because the favorite has been taking money up from minus 115 to minus 130. The total in the game set at 9.5, slight juice, minus 115 to the under. So you got to bet 115 to win that 100 back from that standpoint. One of 14 games today. We might talk a little bit more baseball in the next segment as well. But other big news in MLB, Brewer star outfielder, former NL MVP Christian Yelich, said to have season-ending back surgery. This back has put him on the IL a couple of times. He hasn't played since July 23rd. The Brewers still 9 games ahead of the Reds right now for first place in the NL Central. But how does this impact their chances the rest of the way for you?
Yeah, it's just so brutal because like that's mainly what it is, right? Like they're very highly likely to hold on. I mean, it would just take a monumental collapse for them not to win this division. But I think now your upside is just capped. I mean, this was a guy that when he's out there, he's at least somewhat of a difference maker for this team. He's not the Yelich of old, but he is at least this season has kind of resurrected some of those flashes that we saw of him whenever he really was viewed as one of the top 10 players in all of Major League Baseball, as far as well-rounded anyway. And now with him being out, I don't know if anyone really considered this Brewers team a true contender anyway. When it came down to it, you start to look at what the Dodgers bring to the table, certainly what the NL East teams bring to the table, and then the AL teams, you're probably taking all of those over this team as it is anyway. But if you're a Brewers fan, I know Ben Wilson's out there somewhere, and like, I feel bad for you, but yeah, it's now you know what you're seeing. It's make the playoffs and you probably get bounced pretty early.
Minus 3,500 to win the division. So that feels.
Yeah. Take a monumental collapse.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Also, have you seen this report on ESPN about MLB discussing the 6-inning minimum for pitchers? You take the deep breath. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's so interesting because they already took these drastic steps 2 years ago, right? You know, the pitch clock, making the bases bigger.
Eliminating the shift.
You can only, you know, pick off attempts are limited as well. And here we are just 2 years later with another, at least kicking around, another very big change to the game that, you know, purists were like jumping up and down about, like, you know, the ghost runner and the bases being bigger and all the things like that. Like, you can't have baseball this way. And then now everyone loves the fact that games are done in under 3 hours, and they're trying to streamline it just a little bit more. I think what it all comes down to, Stormy, is that they're looking at what an average NHL game and an average NBA game goes. And they're kind of like, we can't just be exponentially longer than that. We need to kind of try to be on par with what they're putting out there. And I think what they're looking at here is trying to get it to where these teams aren't just running through these pitchers left and right. And like, they're kind of putting it in this, like, framing it as, yeah, you know, we want to protect the pitchers too, because if we, you know, make them go longer, then like they'll have to train differently. It won't be all about velocity. It'll be like, oh, we need longevity, et cetera, et cetera.
The quote that stood out early in this article from ESPN's Jesse Rogers was, the commissioner's office wants starting pitchers to spend more time on the mound pitching deeper into games and less time in the operating room and undergoing surgery on their arms. Baseball also wants more balance in a sport that's revolved around strikeouts.
Exactly. Because it's like, so right now, velocity's king. All we hear about are the dudes that throw 98 plus, and that's what everyone wants to see. Yep. And so they're thinking, and the thought being here is like, okay, we put more emphasis back on control and back on precision and less on velocity. And of course, with all of that, Stormy, what happens? More offense. We know more offense is better for the viewing. So it's all of that. I can't imagine this happens anytime in the next several years, because you really have to change now the whole philosophy of how you teach these kids how to pitch. You know, I mean, it's literally going to change the game in general, because even in the high school level, everybody's trying to throw harder. Everything's about velocity. Everything is like working towards, how do I hit, you know, 97, 98 miles an hour.
Dodgers, a +370 favorite to win the World Series in 2024, followed by the Yankees at 5-1, Phillies 6-1, Orioles 8-1, Astros and Guardians both tied on the odds board at 10-1. For those who don't know, also another thing about Matt Brown, in addition to hosting The Handle every Saturday and Sunday from noon to 3 Eastern, he is our resident golf expert on the Long Shots crew. You guys have been dealing all PGA Tour season, trying to make money despite Scotty Scheffler winning just about everything.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Round two, though, of the FedEx St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee, ongoing right now. What do you have in pocket? Are you looking at any in-play angles, and where do we sit right now?
I do have Hideki Matsuyama. So somewhere out there, Kelly Bidlin is kicking himself because he said on the pod, oh man, I feel like I maybe should tell you on Hideki Matsuyama, and he ended up not doing it. And so he is tied for first with Denny McCarthy. Hideki still has a couple holes to play. Denny McCarthy at 11 under, Hideki at 11 under as well. But Kelly Bidlin's also probably rolling laughing somewhere, because guess what? Yes, I didn't bet Sam Burns. No one has bet Sam Burns in the world of golf betting more than me. Sam Burns, pride of LSU, by the way. I don't know if you know or not. Went to LSU from Louisiana.
Rumor has it. I've heard it once or twice. Definitely and never from you, so because you're so humble.
He goes 7 under today. He finds himself in outright third at 10 under in this thing. I know everyone's wondering, okay, well, what about the big two? Well, Scheffler's 3 under on the day. He's T5 at 7 under. And Xander's only 1 under through 15, actually, sitting at 5 under. And he's going to have some work to do over the next couple of days. But remember, this is only 70 players in this field, and it is a no-cut event. So everybody guaranteed 4 rounds no matter what. So if you can string together 2 bangers, which we know Xander could possibly do, I mean, this, we've seen the guy do it tons of times. I don't think he's completely out of it, but I think this is more of a, hey, what's the upside here for him at this point? Whenever you are, you know, 6 strokes off the lead, we'll see what he does to finish out the round. Probably like more like upside of a live top 5 on Xander. I have a top 10. This is how bad this has gotten in golf. But I have a Scotty Xander top 10 parlay that only pays out at +110, because like, that's like how
that's
almost
how
a lock.
Priced. It's crazy.
It's almost how much of a lock they are to finish in the top 10. But again, you give me 4 guaranteed rounds with these dudes in a field of 70 players, like, I'm pretty confident they're going to finish in the top 10. So I played that. My only rooting interest, I guess at this point, is going to be on Hideki. I think if I was getting in live right now, like I said, a live top 5 on Xander, I I'm pretty confident the Duke can put it together over the weekend.
I'm a San Diego State graduate, so let's go Xander.
Love you some Xander.
Yes,
always. Used to live here as well. Yeah. Like, yeah,
he's a good dude. And you know, too, my first job out of college back in the day was the Mountain West Conference when he was still playing collegiate golf. And so I got to cover him a good bit then. Just a really good guy and excited for him this season. Finally, it was like when it rains, it pours. He breaks through,
two of the most dominant seasons.
That
we've seen in so long.
Very, very cool. In terms of some of those live numbers, Hideki Matsuyama sitting plus 230 in the outright position. Scottie Scheffler trying to surge back plus 450, Sam Burns 7-1, Denny McCarthy plus 750. Chris Kirk, who was the round one later, had a nice hole in one on that par three early as well yesterday, 12-1, and Xander Schauffele sitting there as 16-1. Why are you laughing?
How good is Scotty? He's four strokes off. He's second on the betting.
It's unbelievable.
He's four strokes off the lead. He's second on the betting board.
What did you say to me in the commercial break earlier when I said, oh, Scotty kind of had a rough day yesterday?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, 400.
For him.
Yeah, 400.
For him.
Yeah, for him. 400. But yeah,
it's just, that, to your
you
point.
You just expect him to be in like first or second every single
round. To your point about the pricing, though, when you look at these outrights before anything happens and he's, you know, 4-1.
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to bet that?
Golf's
but then
hard.
He wins so many events. If you don't have a little bit on him, you're mad at yourself. So you almost wait for him to suck in the first round, second round, and again, suck for him.
For him.
So that you can buy in on a better number.
For him. I mean, listen, at 450, you're getting better than you did pre-tournament. There's still a couple holes left today that he could go and birdie. And then he has all weekend no matter what.
Hear that music. That means my producer is telling me to shut up. We have Jennifer Piacenti joining us coming up next, senior betting and fantasy analyst at Sports Illustrated. You need a fantasy football name and advice? She's got you covered. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's Matt Brown in for Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonatoni with you as we welcome you back to this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. The countdown continues to the NFL regular season. We're in preseason week two, but 20 days away from kicking this thing off and having meaningful games back on our television screen, which means, Matt, this is about that time when people are getting locked and loaded, placing their futures bets. They are trying to figure out what they're going to do in their fantasy draft. And we have the perfect guest right now to help us get set for the season. Jennifer Piacenti on the Progressive Guest Line, senior betting and fantasy analyst over at Sports Illustrated. You can follow her on X at Jen Piacenti. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to talk a lot of football here right now, but I got to give props, credit where credit is due. I was looking at your social media page this morning. You crushed your MLB picks yesterday. So if there's anything you can help us out with today, we are all ears.
Oh yeah. There's a couple good bets on the board tonight. First of all, let me say happy Patrick Corbin Day to those of you who celebrate. I absolutely love targeting hitters when Patrick Corbin is on the mound. And even better yet, it's the Phillies who are basically the hottest team, maybe besides the Diamondbacks, but pretty close when facing southpaws. So the total today is only at 9. We know that Corbin likes to give up the long ball. We know his ERA in the second half of the season is over 7. We know that his ERA versus the Phillies this season is 6. And then we have these Phillies bats that just put up 13 on their lefty starter last night. So we're going to take the over at 9 here. I think it's generous. They're even giving us a push at 9. Games at, you know, Citizens Bank Park are averaging more than 9 runs per game this season and more than 10.5 since the All-Star break. So we're in on that over there. I like the hitting props for, you know, Boehm, Harper, Schwarber is good value. Over 1.5 total bases is in plus money. And then the other game I like, I really love this creative bet. So Pirates and Mariners, two teams that are struggling right now, to be kind, but yet they have their aces on the mound. And I know Skeens hasn't been as good of late, but the Mariners are striking out at a 30% clip this season, and they haven't seen Skeens. So in this situation, the advantage goes to the pitcher. The game total is set at just 7. Now, because both bullpens have struggled, I'm a little nervous to take the under there, especially since this juiced to minus 120. But there's a bet over on DraftKings. Neither team to score 4-5 runs, he's even money, plus 100, and neither team to score 4 runs, which seems totally plausible to me, he's plus 210. So those are my two plays I really like in that game.
And you say happy Patrick Corbin Day to those who celebrate. I say happy Paul Skeens Day to everyone who should celebrate watching Paul Skeens take the hill with that glorious mustache of his, throwing 100 miles an hour and going out there and mowing down these hitters. So let's switch over to the NFL and over in the MVP market. A couple of different guys that you're looking at, one of which who might be looking at a contract, but he says things are cool.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, of course, is who you're talking about. There's a lot of questions right now in Dallas, right? Like, what's going on with CeeDee Lamb? What's this holdout about? But, you know, eventually Jerry Jones is going to open up his wallet. We saw him do this with Zeke Elliott a few years ago. Remember, it's going to be fine. What's interesting is that Dak right now is 17-1 to win the MVP. And I don't think once he re-signs the contract or once CeeDee Lamb re-signs the contract, that value will stay. I think the odds will get a little bit shorter. This is a player who did lead the league last season with 36 passing touchdowns. We know that the run game is going to be questionable. He's going to have to air it out. He's got Lamb. Cooks has looked good in preseason. Jalen Tolbert could step forward. Jake Ferguson. He has the weapon. And even better, if he doesn't get the contract, he's going to be playing for another contract somewhere else. And Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat. So at this value, 17-1, I'm in on Dak. When I do a futures bet, I don't like to tie up my bankroll for some, you know, 4-1 payout. It's not worth it. I want to take a big shot. The other player here, 17-1. The reigning NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson, who now gets the benefit of Derrick Henry leading his run game. And he's got the second year in Todd Monk in office. He's got healthy Mark Andrews. So both those players to me right now are very attractive at their current payouts.
So from MVP, let's go to comeback player of the year, because I think this is a very interesting market, especially since the AP decided to give voters a little bit of criteria, thing to follow this year. They write, in the spirit of the AP comeback player of the year, they want a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity, overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time.
Not from getting back off the couch.
Not just from getting off the couch, like Joe Flacco winning over DeMar Hamlin last year, Exhibit A. So as you hear those guidelines for comeback player of the year, how has that shaped the way that you look at this? And have there been players that you've just X'd off the list because of it?
So I think that obviously Aaron Rodgers is the favorite for a reason in that respect. I mean, coming back from Achilles tear, you know, missing the entire season. So there's going to be a lot of money on Rodgers there, but I can't put my money there because, again, this is somebody plus 140 or tying up your bankroll. Joe Burrow certainly faced adversity, you know, dealt with a few injuries, worked through them, and then got injured and set out for the entire season. He's 3-1. But I'm probably leaning towards the value, actually, of Sam Darnold. I mean, I consider having to, you know, work with Adam Gase and then going to the Panthers adversity.
That's fair. As someone who's married to a Panthers fan, that's fair.
And I think he's set up well. You know, we've never seen him in a really successful offensive system. I mean, limited play for the Niners, obviously, where hopefully he got kind of back on track. But Kevin O'Connell, I have a lot of faith in him. And then he's going to have a receiver like Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, a lot of people are fading in fantasy, but he was actually a target hog and spectacular with terrible quarterback play last season without Kirk Cousins. So Sam Darnold actually still has a lot of talent and a big arm. And he's set up to take this Vikings team that continues to take hits. Now we have questions. Will Jordan Addison be ready for week one? He's set up to make a splash and potentially be that comeback player. So at 12-1, I'm interested in Darnold.
Talking to Jennifer Piacenti here on the Progressive Guest Line. Find her over at Sports Illustrated. Not only talking sports betting, would also talk in fantasy. Let's look at offensive rookie of the year. There are a couple, of course, we've got the quarterbacks that we know are going to play. But as far as the skill position players, there are a couple of guys that got drafted that we know are going to have major, major roles for these teams. And this is one that you're looking at.
Yeah, and of course you want to have one of those players that you know is going to have an opportunity. It's very rare that you have a situation like Justin Herbert where he suddenly takes over the starting job in week three and then leads all rookies in passing yards. That can happen, though, so don't be afraid to take a few big shots. But obviously, the leaders here are Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who will be quarterbacks. Obviously, a quarterback has a lot of impact on the game and if they're successful. But as I said earlier, I don't like those tiny payouts, 3-1, 1.5-1. I'm taking my shot on Malik Nabers. I know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the higher drafted wide out, especially in fantasy right now. But when I do my projections, they have about the same amount of targets, about 140 targets going their way. Obviously, Murray is the better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but there's just, Neighbors has looked great in preseason, and there's just a lot of reasons to be optimistic at 11-1. I'm willing to take that shot.
Yeah, it's just to your point, it's a matter of can Daniel Jones get the ball out to him? And right. With Drew Locke injured right now and Tommy DeVito behind him, like the quarterback situation is definitely what you worry about with that. But I do like the 11-1 number, and the Giants are certainly extremely high on the guy they took at number 6 overall this year. Jennifer, I want to ask you from a fantasy perspective, obviously a lot of people are getting geared up for this season. They're figuring out where they're going to draft, who they want to target. What's just some general advice you have for people who are getting set for the season?
So first off, obviously this may sound really basic, but be sure to check your league scoring. Okay. If it's a PPR league, you can wait on running back. If you don't get one of those great spots where you can get, you know, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, don't panic. Get that elite wide receiver. There is so much value late at runner this year. Into the 4th, 5th, 6th round, you can still get Zach Moss. You can pair Nick Chubb and Jerome Ford in like the 7th and the 9th round and just take that whole Cleveland backfield. So don't panic if you don't get the runner. I know that in the past, you've always been like running back, that's your bread and butter, but the league is changing. And with every catch being an extra point, you have to suddenly weight those receivers and even tight ends, which is a little bit deeper of a position this year, a little bit higher. So don't be afraid. That being said, if you like to go hero running back, go for it. It has been a winning strategy. Also, be sure you check the points for your quarterbacks. Leagues are changing. Sometimes it's 4 points per passing touchdown. Sometimes it's 6 points per passing touchdown. And that will change a lot over whether maybe you value Anthony Richardson over CJ Stroud, right? So be sure you check those things out. Overall, I would say the overall arching trend I've seen is you can wait a little bit longer and still get really competent runners this year. Listen, Derrick Henry is sometimes going in the 3rd round. I mean, this guy is going to score 14 touchdowns. It's not like Jalen Hurts. People are like, oh, you know, Lamar's going to take his goal line carries. Lamar runs a lot, but he doesn't take those goal line carries. Henry is going to be a beast. Even Gus Edwards was a beast. Now put Derrick Henry there. I am all in. I don't care that he's a 31-year-old unicorn. Give me that unicorn in the 3rd round every day of the week.
Jennifer, you're awesome. Thanks for everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Jennifer Piacenti, everybody. Again, you can check her out on X as well as Sports Illustrated. Her picks, as well as all of the picks from all of our VSiN show hosts, guests, analysts, across the board, available each and every day at VSiN.com/picks. We're turning the page to preseason week 2 when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt Brown in for Michael Lombardi today. And if you don't know, now you know. Scotty's gonna Scotty. Scotty Scheffler. Matt, what is this dude doing right now on the course?
We did an update, and we said, hey, plus 450. That's a bigger number than you got pre-tournament on Scotty Scheffler. Still definitely gonna play the weekend and had a couple of holes left. Well, yeah, he had a couple holes left, which he went birdie. He is now on the 18th, and he's 287 yards down, dead center in the middle of the fairway, about 150 yards out from the hole. So where do we sit now in the course of the, 18 minutes since we did that update?
So again, you said plus 450 last time we talked. Right now, even our graphics board is out of date. It says plus 210. He's plus 185 on the live line right now.
It's absurd. Imagine being as good at something as hard as golf.
You said in the commercial break, I wish I could just be as good at anything as this guy is at golf.
I don't breathe air as good as this guy plays golf. Like, I mean, seriously, it's unbelievable. Here he is, 150 yards out on 18. He could close with 4 straight birdies and end the day tied for the lead when he was 450 18 minutes ago whenever we did the update.
Minus 500 to finish in the top 5 now. So I got to bet $500 to win back your 100 for him to have a top 5 finish. The latest odds in the top 5 right now, Scottie Scheffler plus 185 favorite, Hideki Matsuyama, who Matt, of course, has in pocket at 3-1, Sam Burns plus 750, Denny McCarthy 8-1, and then Xander Schauffele, the odds drop off a little bit at 18-1.
Want to give some love.
Yes.
Jen also has an awesome article over on SI. If you're looking for your fantasy team. This is the time of year where your drafts are about to start. If they haven't already started, they're probably coming up pretty soon. And everyone's big thing is like, man, I don't even know what to name my team. Well, there's a whole article here with a whole bunch of different team names. Victorious Secret.
Clever.
Right?
I like that.
No punt intended instead of no pun intended. I don't want to give away the whole article, but like, you know, a few that kind of like stood out here.
Yes, it's very good.
Second place is first loser. You know,
so if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah. So all of these on there again, there's a whole bunch more. They're 50 to be exact. So you can go in and check out that as well.
For those of us just joining us, talking about Jennifer Piacenti doing a great job as a betting and fantasy analyst over at Sports Illustrated. You can check out all of her work over there at SI. Let's run the board here. Yeah. NFL preseason week two kicked off last night. The Eagles had a 2-point conversion late. They ended up beating the Patriots. Chasing steam, as we talked about in hour one, has not been profitable early here in the postseason. They were a 2.5-point dog at open. People thought that they had the wrong favorite. So the complete flip. Patriots end up closing a 3.5-point favorite. They lose outright by one on that play. And as we look ahead to Saturday, full slate, then we got two games on Sunday. A lot of interesting stuff to keep in mind. Our own Steve Mackinnon has an article up at VSiN.com right now, and he'll be doing this each and every week with updated stats, trends, analytics, numbers to be aware of to help you. Obviously, you find your information listening to coaches' press conferences and reporters on Twitter, but to help give a little perspective and shaping, Mackinnon's numbers are excellent, available right now at VSiN.com. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get everything that we have to offer on the website, as well as our NFL betting guide, which will be updated after the preseason, our college football betting guide as well, $175 from now through the Super Bowl. It's awesome.
Worth it.
It's totally awesome.
It's worth it for the college football betting guide alone.
Yes, well, I agree.
You cannot properly handicap all of the teams of college football. You can't like, do it on your own. You can't do it.
Our analysts do such a good job of tracking down like the transfer portal, turnover, returning starters. Like it's just, it's so much information and it's so good and so beneficial. But as we turn back to the NFL here, preseason week two, there's a lot of line movement again, specifically a lot of totals that have been getting hit. And let's just kind of go through one by one, starting with the Falcons at the Ravens. Atlanta open two. The Ravens are now a 1-point favorite. This Baltimore thing is so interesting to me because there was this famous stretch under John Harbaugh for the longest time. They were unbelievable against the spread, 21-1-1 ATS. They've now lost, what, 5 preseason games ATS since?
Yeah, this one's interesting to me mainly from the fact that, like, I think that you're probably going to get a decent run out. We know for sure that we are going to see Penix, just like how much Penix we're going to get. But it seems like after what you got from him in the first game, if you're Atlanta, aren't you pretty curious to get a little bit more of that action and just say, all right, you know, look, this is what we got in this dude, right? I mean, like, and you don't have to play him in the last preseason game, but like, you know, I think you want to get a decent look of him. And they're one of these teams. Well, as we go through all these games, like some teams are a little more transparent than others as to what they're going to do and how it's going to do. That obviously affects the way that the game moves. But, you know, listen, for me, if you're going to basically tell me it's a coin flip and I'm going to get, and I know for a fact that I'm going to get Penix over Josh Johnson or any of these other guys, you know, that may or may not go for the Ravens, like I'll take the point, you know.
Total 35.5 there. Giants at Texans, likely to see Daniel Jones. We talked about Malik Nabers last segment. He returned to practice, has a chance to play as well. D'Amico Ryans on the Texan side says starters will play. The Giants were getting 5.5 points in this spot early on. This is all the way down, like I said, to 2.5 now. Have we gotten too far here? Should we be buying back on the Texans?
It's like, it's this thing where we got the likely to see Daniel Jones, but not 100% we're going to see Daniel Jones, which I think still gives me a little bit of pause to take any points here in this one. I mean, at this, now that we know we're going to get the starters, the Texans, though, we didn't get the indication of how much we're going to get of the starters, but just knowing for sure that we're going to get the starters. And I think Malik Nabers, even, I know he returned to practice, but if you're them, are you really rolling him out there after he tweaked his ankle like a couple days ago? I mean, there's no way, right? I mean, you would think.
Crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened, and I'm not a GM, nor am I a head coach, and I don't know what they're thinking with Malik Nabers. So, I don't know. I weirdly would probably lay it with the Texans.
Also, one of the futures bets I like, and I know nobody loves laying juice at this point in the preseason, but Daniel Jones to have fewer than 16 and a half touchdown passes, minus 125. I am not a Daniel Jones believer in the slightest. Last year, 1-5 with 2 touchdown passes, 6 picks before the injury. He's not thrown more than 2 touchdown passes in a single game since 2019. Just throwing that out there. So him coming off of an ACL tear and getting weaved back in, I know he's got a great weapon in Neighbors, but I'm not
sold. Still a rookie weapon.
I'm not sold.
Like, I think Neighbors is going to be awesome from a rookie standpoint. But again, we have to remember, still a rookie.
Yep.
Still a rookie.
Bears and Bengals. So money coming in on the Bears here, up from 3.5 to now 6, the total 36.5. Bears starters will play. Matt Eberflus citing the importance of competitive reps. How long the starters will play depends on, quote, the ebb and flow of the game.
Yeah.
Thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, does that mean if you come out and the starters like march right down the field?
We're up to 6.5, by the way. Yeah, so another half point.
All the way up to 6.5. Now this might have gone too far, right? Because now the ebb and flow of the game, Stormy, that might mean, hey, they march down and look awesome on one series and just run it to perfection. You might say, hey, guys, good job. Let's go on over there. Pour yourself a Gatorade, kick back, knock that helmet off, and we're done for the day. I mean, because again, the ebb and flow of the game to me kind of sounds like, hey, if we go 3 and out, I'm putting them back out there. If we have an awesome series, I'm at least going to consider we take that awesome series. So I think at this point we almost moved a little bit too far from information. That's the thing about the preseason, right? This is all information based. Like all of these moves, all this stuff is all information based. We're just listening to what the coaches say, what the beat writers tell us, and then the line moves accordingly. We're almost to a touchdown, and all he said was the ebb and flow of the game. Yeah. I mean, what does that even mean? You tell me.
I don't know.
You talk to coaches all the time.
Know.
In coach speak, what does that mean?
All that said, I do want to share an interesting nugget from Steve Mackinnon here.
You do it.
So Bears beat Buffalo last week, 33-6. Most bettors tend to favor a yin-yang strategy in the preseason, fading a team off of a big win because the number will be inflated. Reasons we talk about just now, starters playing, number maybe a little too much inflated. But apparently, NFL teams coming off preseason wins of 20-plus points and are favored the following week are 23-7 straight up, 18-10-2 ATS. So a 64% surge since 2013. Just an interesting nugget. I think it's worth noting. Another big spread, Lions-Chiefs. Andy Reid said, as far as the playing time goes, the ones will take a half and they'll fill in after that, see how the rest of the game goes in the third and fourth quarter. So starters will play a half, according to Andy Reid.
The other interesting thing in this one, they did come out and says like Hendon Hooker might play for the Lions, even though he supposedly was concussed, but I guess maybe not concussed or all that. How's that work? I don't know how that works in the preseason. Maybe it's less of a barrier to entry to get back in there with all that. I mean, look, if you're getting a half of the Chiefs, I mean, don't you just not even risk it? If you really like the Chiefs in this, you just play first half line.
Well, I was right? gonna say first half, they're laying 4.5. First quarter, they're laying 1.5.
Yeah, you just play a quarter or a half or both.
Have a nice opening game script if you're Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, that's the way to go. Why the variance in the second half could be infinite, right? And so, like, why do a full game one?
Or if you think they're going to win and you don't want to lay the big price, if you do feel comfortable spending a little bit of a tax here, the Chiefs to win the first half and the full game is minus 165. Money line price for the game is minus 325. So, I mean, a decent chunk there too. If you just want them to win, you think that they're going to have a good first half with the starters out there and that they're going to finish it, not having to worry about the spread come into play, you can do that. It is a little bit too pricey for my blood, but worth noting. Another note from Steve Mackinnon. I'm telling you, he's crushing it on this article, vsin.com. Going back to 2010, 13 teams laying 7 or more in the preseason, 4-9 ATS. So, laying big numbers has not been particularly friendly. And again, don't chase this team, according to what we have seen so far. We're closing out things when we come back on the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out with us, gang.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Friday then. It's Saturday, Sunday. What We are rocking and rolling. Lookout weekend, a busy weekend in sports. Last segment, we started to run the board in the NFL preseason week two. We've got a ton going on Saturday. Two more games on Sunday. Plenty of sports action across the board this weekend. But let's continue talking NFL here. Other need-to-know information on the lineup.
Yeah, just real quick, if you guys want to bet any of these games, at least this is the stuff we know as of this show right now. So you can take that with you. Vikings and Browns, Deshaun Watson was cleared for contact, but he is not going to play in that one. Cardinals and Colts, no starters for the Colts there in that one. So we don't get a redemption game for Anthony Richardson because he did not look great in his first outing out there. So likely to see him in the third preseason game. We talked about this earlier in the show, but worth bringing up again. The Steelers are going to start Russell Wilson in that game against the Bills. The Titans starters will sit in that one versus the Seahawks. Malik Willis going to get the start there for the Titans. On the Rams side of things, Sean McVay not going to coach. He said, you know what? I make a ton of money, I make a ton of money to coach a regular season. He's going to let his assistant coach, Aubrey Pleasant, serve as the head coach there in that one. No Trevor Lawrence for the Jags against the Bucks. Doug Peterson said he'd like for Mac Jones and C.J. Beathard to each play a half for that Jags team. I bet the Jags in week one, based off of the fact that they have such a strong backup quarterback situation going on, it is still less than a field goal against this Bucks team right now. Probably a bet that I'll have in my account as well. Listen, at the end of the day, this is not like testing out some rookie or some guy off the street that they signed. I mean, these are two dudes that have tons of game experience in the NFL, and you're going to get a half of Jones and a half of Beathard. I think under a field goal is at least fair. Raiders going to play the starters. Antonio Pierce actually hopes to name a starting quarterback after the game there for that Raiders squad, and the Broncos are going to start Bo Nix.
Worth noting in that Raiders quarterback battle, Gardner Minshew remains a slight favorite there, minus 125. Aiden O'Connell sitting 105. Also, one more quick note for the Commanders and Dolphins. Mike McDaniel did say the starters will get action there for Miami, and so that line is up from 1.5 to 5. Total up 2.5 points as well, from 35.5 up to 38. Now, I mentioned that it is a busy sports weekend. We've been giving you updates throughout the show on the FedEx St. Jude Championship going on in Memphis, Tennessee. Also, this weekend, UFC 305 from Perth, Australia. Israel Adesanya goes from a minus 135 favorite down to, I'm seeing, largely minus 115, despite 73% of the handle and 62% of bets coming his way. And I know you have a wager on this fight. You are a UFC expert. You have a lot invested in this sport and in this fight as well. Like, what do you think when you hear that from a betting standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's a lot of name value stuff going on here with Israel Adesanya from casual bettors, but I think the people that are a little bit more in the know, which is why this has moved so much. I mean, you could get plus money even yesterday. Andrikus Duplessis is who he's fighting in this fight. Israel Adesanya, if it wasn't Israel Adesanya, we'd probably be talking about this being towards the end of his career. He's a 35-year-old dude that got brutally knocked out like once that we've seen. And it was kind of like some of these guys, once you get older, especially in these like heavyweights, kind of like withstand stuff a little bit better. But like any weight class below that, you get put out later on in your career and you're never quite the same. You're never exactly the same. And you look at Andrikus Duplessis, I don't think he's going to win every single round in this. Izzy probably can keep this on the feet for one of the rounds and he'll probably win that round. But I think Andrikus is going to do a lot of just stalking, pressing, make this fight kind of gross and ugly. He was able to score a ton of takedowns whenever
we talked too much NFL today.
I know Sean Strickland against Sean Strickland. So I think he's going to go with the same game plan against Izzy and try to keep Izzy where Izzy can't stand at distance and kind of like piece him up a little bit. And so I think him as the dog in this fight is the way to go. That being said, yesterday you're getting plus money on him. Not the case anymore. But as we see sometimes, I don't know if this is actually going to be the case in this story, but if you wait longer sometimes on these UFC cards, as the casual money rolls in, they want to bet the dude that they like. They want to bet the dude that they think is cool. They want to bet the dude that they know more. And so maybe we see this shift a little bit back towards Izzy just a little bit more as we, because again, casual bettors aren't betting this early, right? That's just not how it works, right? They come in 2 hours before the fight, hour before the fight to really start pounding on this thing. And so maybe if you haven't got in yet, it's not going to get that much worse on Andrikus as it is anyway. So it's not like you're waiting around to get a horrible number. So maybe you can get a little bit better of a number.
Matt's pick on this fight, as well as our guest, Jennifer Piacenti, who joined us a little bit earlier, all of her futures wagers that she gave out on the show today, all available at VSiN.com/picks. We do this each and every day, every show, picks from everywhere, locked and loaded. You do need to be a VSiN.com subscriber, however, but I mean, it's a great deal what you get. You get everything that we have to offer on the website, the guides, everything. It's $175 from now through the Super Bowl. Last few minutes here, I want to round things out playing a little game.
Fumble.
Typically on Fridays, nobody saw me drop my pen there. Fumble. I tried to be smooth and you're ruining it for me. It's fine.
This is why you like someone in the studio, right? I mean, listen, I can sit here and go,
Michael wouldn't have seen it and we could have moved on. Let it go. So typically on a Friday, it is Mike Palm who fills in for Michael Lombardi. And we have a segment called Would Palm Have a Qualm? We're going to redo that today with Matt Brown on the desk. And I've decided to title it Would Brown Have a Frown?
Oh, I see. So gotcha. Do you like this bet
or do you not? And we're going to go rapid fire here a little bit, but please give me your thoughts and some context. We're looking at some wide receiver props today. Would Brown have a frown about Rome Odunze having 5+ touchdowns this year at even money?
Projection systems have it right at this. And you kind of look and you go, all right, Puka Nacua was the unquestioned number one last year for the Rams as a rookie, and he had 6 touchdowns, right? And now you have an offense and with Rome Odunze that I still think there will be games where he flashes for sure, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there for this Bears squad. And so I just look at it from the aspect, too, that maybe this Bears team is better than I think. And what if they're leading in games more than I think they're going to be leading in games? And it's not just have to fire it all over the place type stuff, and it does become a little bit more protecting the lead. So for me, I'm going to give them the frown, a little thumbs down on that one. It's even
maybe
money.
Maybe we need to do the close-up. Can you give one of these?
Tempt me. Is that good?
Beautiful. It's good? Beautiful. Yeah, we cut away as you did it. But
yeah,
yes.
It's okay.
The under on Rome Odunze, -120, again, to go 5+, even money. How about Jaylen Waddle? Would Brown have a frown at Waddle to have 7+ touchdowns? It's a +175 price. Bet 100, win 175.
There were 28 players that had 7 or more receiving touchdowns last year in the NFL. So you look. Would Jaylen Waddle, in your opinion, now this also includes tight ends, and so tight ends, so a couple of the tight ends do fit into that as well, but would you kind of include Jaylen Waddle in the top 30-ish receivers in the NFL? If you think that this Dolphins team, which I do, is going to be even more potent this year with everything that they added in, I don't hate this one, to be honest. I mean, if we only got to get to 7 and be one of those 30 people that is very likely to get 7+ receiving touchdowns this season, I think Jaylen, and you know, we don't wish injury on anyone, but look, we've seen Tyreek Hill come up kind of lame in a couple of games here and there over the last couple of seasons, and then we've seen Jaylen Waddle go absolutely nuts. And so, I mean, if this is even better bet, if you know, you have Cheetah have to miss, you know, a game or two.
Yeah. Waddle had just 4 touchdowns last season in 14 games, but the year prior, 8, 1,356 yards in 2022. So we'll see if he can get back to that form against +175 on that price. Amon-Ra St. Brown to lead the league in receiving yards, 11-1. I know you like Jared Goff this year. Yeah. So do you also like Amon-Ra?
I mean, I have to love this one just because I need this to happen. Like, if this happens and things
this
are probably going.
It happens.
Yeah, it's like things are going pretty well for me. Like, if this happens, or there are lots of investment here on this Lions team. That being said, I think if, you know, I know you have a thought on this one as well. We just talked about Rome Odunze with a lot of mouths to feed. There's a lot of mouths to feed there for the Lions as well. And the other problem is I think the Lions are going to be really, really good. And when you're really, really good, sometimes that limits opportunity for some of these wide receivers because, hey, you're bleeding the lead out.
That was my one fear with it. Like, we know Jared Goff was second in all of the NFL in passing yards last year, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, a huge recipient of that. But there is Sam Laporta. There are these other weapons that are going to be fed in that situation. So that does steer me off of it a little bit more than versus a CeeDee Lamb, for example, who is, I mean, if he gets on the field, is the primary target there. How about former Lion turned Viking TJ Hawkinson, reportedly ahead of schedule from his knee injury last year? Would Brown have a frown with Hawkinson, 750+ receiving yards?
I got a frown on this one, mainly because we don't know when he's going to be back for sure. And with all that, I kind of have him 200 yards under this. With my projections. So, like, with that, that would be a pretty big frown for me. That said, Jordan Addison's arraignment did get set for October the 7th on that DUI charge and that speeding, reckless driving, all the stuff that was going on with all of that. And so it does make me wonder, Stormy. I mean, maybe towards the end of the season, if Addison finds himself at all in a deal where he is suspended, then Hockenson would kind of become the de facto number two receiver. And so maybe this would skew projections, but I have to just go with what I know. And I don't know. Addison, as far as I know, Addison's playing all season.
Okay, very fair. Love it. Appreciate this, you know, edited version of would Palm mm-hmm. have a qualm, would Brown have a frown. Great introduction for you. Yes. And I know you're so busy being famous with the Circus Survivor documentary docuseries that's coming out this week.
You are prominently featured,
but we do appreciate you taking
way.
Some time out of your busy schedule.
Would you at least say you are prominently
featured? I haven't
featured.
Seen it. I don't know.
Prominently featured.
CEO and owner here of Circa, Derek Stevens, did tell me that, like, I am in it and that he was excited about it. And so I feel positive that it
despite
must,
being,
I don't
what
look
did you say?
Stupid.
Squatty, what did you call yourself earlier?
I don't know. Torso challenge. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. Sharp Money's coming up next.